Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, hello and thank you for inviting me in your home this beautiful Sunday morning. Today the Lord hath made, and the Bible said we could and we should rejoice and be glad therein. I'm so glad that God has allowed me another week to come into your homes by the means of radio. I hope today that we've got a very special song or something coming your way that will bless your heart. Okay, let's get right into our broadcast this morning, and let's do this song right here. Let's send it out to Becky Lilly. Hope they're doing real well, and I hope that all of you are enjoying today's broadcast.
What would I do without Jesus, the shepherd of my valley? Lord, I just couldn't walk this road alone. When I'm hungry, He feeds me. When I'm thirsty, He's my water. I could make it without Jesus. What would I do? When I need someone to talk to, He's always there to listen. With arms full of shepherd of my valley, I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? When my tears flow like a river, and my burdens are high as a mountain, and the one I've trusted has let me down. Well, that's when I go to Jesus. He's the one that I can count on. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? When I need someone to talk to, He's always there to listen. With arms fold about me, and He rocks me in His bosom. What will I do without Jesus, the shepherd of my valley? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What will I do? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do?
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I couldn't make it without Jesus. I would want to make it without Jesus. I've been in the ministry now. I was figured the other day, and I told them up the church. I started in 62, and this is 18. So that makes me almost 60 years in the ministry. I started in 62, and I began to preach 6 months later. And I've been preaching all these many years, but God has richly blessed my ministry, and I appreciate you. You have made me a blessing, and I thank you for that. My mother would be proud of you. My mother always said, I'm proud of my boy. Well, my mother would have said, I'm proud that you have made him what he is today. Well, let's go another and sing this song for you, and I hope you enjoy this one also.
He can turn the tide and calm an angry sea. He alone decides who writes our symphonies. He lights every star that makes our darkness bright. He can keep a watch all through each lonely night. He still finds the time to hear our baby cry. Say that sinner call, they'll always find him there. And though it makes him sad, always say, I forgive. He can grant the wish and make a dream come true. He can plant the clouds, he can turn the gray to blue. He alone knows where to find the rainbow's end. He alone can see what lies beyond the
forgive. Only God can forgive our sins, and we are in our sins. But God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I remember on the street sides of Roanoke, Virginia, back in 1962, I remember that God spoke to my heart, and I couldn't think of anything at all to say. And I said, well, Lord, you said if I would confess them, that you would forgive me. So I confess my sins to you. You know my sins, but I confess my sins. And he's been faithful and just ever since then. Oh, I've made mistakes in life. We make mistakes in life. But thank God he always says, I forgive. Let's go down the streets of gold now. Brother Ernie Barley used to say that I was the struttest preacher they ever saw. I told him, I said, Brother Ernie, you wait like it on the streets of gold. You haven't seen any strutting yet, because I'm going to strut down the streets of gold. Well, let's go to a message right now. And this one says, well, how do you want it?
I'm going to preach a sermon this morning. I try not to be offensive. I know that there's some people that like just the King James, and I respect you for that. But I've got several Bibles in my study, and the simpler they get, the better I can understand them. Because I'm a simple man, and I like somebody just to point it out, you know what I mean? And so I'm going to be reading from the New Century Version. And I want you to listen how plain and how simple it is, and remember that I'm a simple preacher, so I need it like that. But Jesus is, in the sixth chapter, is saying this. When the followers of Jesus heard this, many of them said, this teaching is hard. Who can accept it? Knowing that his followers were complaining about this, Jesus said, does this teaching bother you? Then will it also bother you to see the Son of Man going back to the place where he came from? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh does not give life. The words I told you, they're spirit and they give life. But some of you don't believe. Jesus knew from the beginning that they did not believe on him, and he turns again to say to them, that is the reason I said, if the Father does not bring a person to me, that one cannot come to me. Dropping down to the seventh chapter of the book of John. After this, Jesus traveled into Galilee. He did not want to travel into Judea because the Jews there wanted to kill him. It was time for the Jewish feast of the shelter. So Jesus' brothers, now remember, Jesus had four half-brothers, two half-sisters. So this is his family that's speaking to him. You should leave this place. You should go to Judea, so that your followers there can see the miracles you're doing. Anyone who wants to be well known does not hide what he does. If you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. Now let's drop over to the 16th verse of the 7th chapter. Jesus answered, the things I teach are not my own, but they come from him who sent me. If people choose to do what they want to do, they will know that my teaching comes from God and not from man. Those who teach their own ideals are trying to get honor for themselves. But those who try to bring honor to the one who sent him speak the truth. And there is nothing false in them. Moses gave the law, but none of you obeyed it. How do you like your eggs? When you go into a restaurant, and you walk up to the and get a seat, the host sets you down. You take the menu out and you begin to read the menu and you say, well, I'll take two eggs and I'll take an order of bacon and a little bit of toast on the side. She speaks back to you and she says, how do you want them? Well, I like mine cooked to death. I like them hard. And I tell her, I said, I want them just as hard as you can get them. I like my bacon a little bit tender, though, if you don't mind. Don't like it cooked to death. Well, Martha, sitting across from me, she said, I want mine sunny side up. And I want you to be sure don't harden the yaller. I like to break the yaller because I like the yaller of the egg. Well, supposing you were with 10 or 12 people, every one of them wants it different. One wants hard-boiled, one wants sunny side up, one wants turned over lightly, one wants turned up lightly. Some wants poached, some... It's just so many different ways. Can you imagine that poor cook when he gets 15 different orders and every one of them's different? And then when they bring it back to the table out of 15 orders, someone looks at it and says, mine ain't right. This ain't the way I wanted it. You know, me and Martha can't even agree on a pizza. I'm serious. We have trouble ordering a pizza. Because Martha, she likes them old hot banana peppers. Jack back there, he probably wouldn't have given them to her. But Martha likes them old hot banana peppers. Well, I like the green peppers. And then Martha likes them old black olives. Well, they're all well and good, but what happens, we finally order the pizza, and I tell them, I say, make half of it banana peppers and half of it green peppers. I can just imagine what they're thinking, you know. But anyhow, when it comes home, I tell Martha, I say, Martha, you ruined my pizza. Them old banana peppers, and they get hot, and them old black olives, they get hot, and that juice flows out of them and gets over on my side. I eat it because I've got to eat it. As long as Martha likes it, I've got to put up with it, you see. So anyhow, I say to Martha, that's not the way I wanted it. And you know, this morning, I want to talk on how do we want our Christianity? How do we want it? It seems to me that that's what God is saying to us today. How do you want it? You see, if you read back there in the 6th chapter, that's exactly what Jesus ran into. Now, he said, I could have told you some fleshly things. And he said, I told you spiritual things. And I told you the simple plan, but you don't want it. That's what he said. Hey, they said, it's too hard for us. I like what old George Bush said. That'll go down in history, that George Bush said, read my lips. And Jesus said to that congregation, I don't care how you want it, that's the way it's got to be. He said, no man cometh to the Father except through and by me. And Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. I don't care, that's not the way I want it. The Bible said a man who come up any other way is the same as a thief and a robber. And there's only one way to heaven, and Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And a lot of people say, I don't want it that way. Nicodemus come to Jesus by night, you remember? I've often wondered why he came at night, because I think he didn't want the other people to see him coming. And he comes to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, good master, what must I do? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. A lot of people don't like that, because everybody today gets born again. The politicians are running for new office. As a matter of fact, in 96, every one of them will tell you that they're a born again Christian. But how do we want our Christianity? Nicodemus, he could not understand it. He said, how can this happen, being an old man? How can, must I enter into my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, no, that is born of flesh is flesh. That is born of spirit is spirit. Is that hard to understand? There is a difference. Just because you got born fleshly don't mean you're born spiritually. And a lot of people say, well, I don't have to be born again. Read my lips. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to do right. Everybody wants to be belong to the church, but nobody really wants the experience of conversion. Because we want it our way. And when you read the Bible, you'll find that that was the biggest problem Jesus had with the church that day and time. Because, you see, they were used to doing it one way, and Jesus come along and said, this is the way. This is the truth. This is the life. And they said, oh, these are hard sayings. So they left him and went away. Now notice, if we drop down into the 7th chapter, we find that a lot of people are only living on sensationalism. A lot of people are only moved by sensationalism. A lot of folks today think if you don't get a sensation out of it, it ain't real. I have never understood what a dead church is. I've heard the terminology. I've heard a lot of people talk about, boy, that was a dead church. Now, let me tell you something, folks. When you stand and you sing the old rugged cross, or the song Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, and someone prays, and you break the bread of life, and you hear the preached word, and can you truly go home and say that was a dead service? Well, you know why you might say it's a dead service? Because it wasn't what you really wanted to have. It's not what you really wanted to hear. You see, maybe you come this morning expecting somebody to run the aisles. Maybe you come this morning expecting to see devils cast out of people. Maybe you come this morning to see somebody leaping. I get so embarrassed sometimes when people call me a bench runner. I'm not a bench runner. Have you ever seen me run any benches? You've never seen me run any benches, have you? Hey, you listen to Jack Johnston on radio on Sunday nights in different places. Did you know that they used to go out to watch Jack Johnston in his tent revival because Jack Johnston was one of the best tent climbers in the country? And a lot of people got the word that Jack Johnston could climb a pole, and he would set up there and preach from that pole, and a lot of people simply went out to watch Jack Johnston preach from the top of a tent pole. And we say, well, we had a dead service. My mother, God bless her heart, and I respect her. I respect the denomination she was raised in, the Pentecostal Wholeness. But my mother, she would go to church, and brother, if she didn't see all the excitement and all the enthusiasm and people running the aisle and screaming and squalling and falling out in the spirit and demons cast out of people and lame legs healed, blind eyes open, she'd go home and say, boy, that was a dead service. But folks, is it a dead service when we come together and break the bread of life? Are we only a see and tell church today? Hey, don't you be taken up by that guy on television who wears that white suit and combs his hair right slick back and acts like he's God's gift to this earth. Because a lot of people that sit in his congregation are only there to see the sensationalism and see the excitement and the emotionalism. They're not really there to get anything. A fellow said to me one time, I said, how come people don't holler amen when I preach? He said, how can you holler and listen at the same time? That's truth. And you get caught up in that sensationalism. And you've got to watch it. You've got to get carried away. And I have not got anything wrong with getting carried away in the Spirit. It'd be good every now and then to take a trip into the outer limits of the Spirit of God. I really think it would be. But folks, we can't get caught up in sensationalism. A lot of folks today, a lot of preachers, and I'm going to preach on me, a lot of preachers are not preaching for God. They only want to be seen and heard of men. Did you not know the Bible said we cannot be men pleasers? A lot of people, I found out this. If Richard's down there and I'm trying to please him, you know what? Then I am under his control. If you're sitting in the church this morning and Curtis, I do everything possible to please Curtis, then I am under the control of Curtis. And I'm going to try to do everything that I might to please him. And so therefore pleasing him, I am under his control. And his own brother said to him, boy, you need to be somewhere so somebody could see you. Is that what Christianity is all about? Is to be seen of men? Is that what Christianity is all about? Is stand before the great congregation so they can say, boy, there's a great man. There's nothing wrong with giving honor where honor's due. But you see, folks, when you're looking at me, you're not seeing the God that I'm here to represent. When you look at this pulpit and you see Tommy Mounts, then you ain't seeing the Christ that should be seen in my life. Why, some of you know that you expect me to run the aisles and run the pews and run the benches, but hey, if I don't do that, please don't think that I'm not a Christian. But you see, Jesus, you got to get out there where people can see you. I wonder if Jesus would have had a TV show if he's living today. Huh? Well, now, I'm not against the televangelist. Don't get me wrong. I think the television has been good. I think it is good. I think it's a means that God has made that men could hear the gospel. Billy Graham preached 182 countries on one sermon. I think that is the real motivation of the TV. But brother, you get on television and draw the big crowds and work the miracles, and there you sit only to be seen of men. I don't think God is pleased.
If the storms of life have shattered all your hopes and plans, and the light upon the path you walk is dim, remember God still loves you. And he holds you in his hand. He invites you, cast your cares upon him. He has borne your grief and sorrow. There's no reason to be down. No reason to believe you cannot win. Though you may not understand the storm you feel,
within your soul. Reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him.
Just reach out.
You know you've searched in all directions, but the way is not safe. It seems a confusion and doubt. They seem to lie on every hand. God will not forsake you. He is your dearest friend, and He tells you, cast your care upon Him. He has borne your grief and sorrow. There's no reason to be down, no reason to believe you cannot win. Though you may not understand the storm you've had within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him. You may not understand the storm you feel within your soul. Reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him.
I want to remember Miss Neely today, Doris Neely. I hope she's doing well. And then also I want to remember Miss Brown. I hope Miss Brown's doing well today. And I hope you're all doing well. I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. I'm going to pray for you now, Father. I'm praying for the sick. I'm praying for that one who needs prayer. Father, you said you supply all of our need according to your riches in glory. And you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I believe in you. I trust you. And Lord, I pray that there's someone right now that's trusting you for salvation, trusting you for healing, whatever the need is in their life. Lord, they don't have to know it. No one else has to know it, because you know all things. So I pray a very special blessing upon this radio ministry, and I pray a very special blessing upon me. I hope the people are praying for me. I need their prayers. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. No, I do. I need your prayers, my friend. I need your financial support. It seemed like the broadcast just went way down. And we're really been struggling lately, but anyhow, we're just going to hold on and keep holding on as long as we can, and hoping that you can pray and pay and help me at this radio ministry. It's a good ministry. We're worldwide, internet, all around the world, and then every Sunday morning I come into your homes, and I'm just a plain old stump preacher. There's nothing influential about me. I'm just a plain old shoe, so to speak. But anyhow, I love you. I hope you love me. Hope you continue to pray for me. So until the same time next week, may God truly bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer. You can write to me, Reverend Tommy Mounts, 2642 Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, 2642 Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.